I'm Pastor Massey. We're back live with the cast and crew from Uncivil Liberties, the movie. What a great movie it is.
One of the things that troubles me the most is the Real ID Act and the...
Yeah, the national ID. It's a de facto national ID.
I think they call it Real ID.
That's what they want to call it, but we know what it is.
We know it's a national ID. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a chip in there, in all likelihood. There's going to be an RFID chip.
Absolutely.
That's going to allow for the tracking of individuals. That's the underlying point of this movie. It postulates a tracking system that is based on RFID tags, so the government will be able to develop a database that knows where everybody is all the time and look for patterns of behavior that are suspicious, patterns that may suggest anti-government activities.
Which could be anything.
It could be anything the government defines.
Exactly, and you can rest assured that it will be things that you and I would quickly recognize as inhibiting our freedom to disagree.
At first, it'll start it'll be like the nose of the camel in the tent. It'll start like, oh, isn't this convenient? And won't you feel safe if you have an accident or something and the responders can get to you and help you and save your life? People will gladly adopt these. This is the technology that George Orwell wrote about in 1984, and it's here. The government has the means to spy on our people, and our right to privacy is in serious jeopardy. And that's the first right that underlies so many of the other rights. Because when you lose your privacy, you lose your ability to...
you lose freedom.
You lose your freedom.
Period. If there is no privacy, there is no freedom.
I saw what the government was doing with Homeland Security and the Patriot Act. And I conceived of a story about what happens if those trends continue a little into the future. And I'll tell you, over the 5 years, I had a hard time staying in the future because the government was catching up with my wildest imaginings.
The technology today allows us to do things that, you know, people only dreamed of before. And and the more powerful the technology, it has to be the more powerful the resistance to it and the more powerful the ethics that are applied to it.
But the reality is, in the real world, you won't see that. You will find people who will try to grab that power for more power, for the sake of power, to increase power and not let go of it, mm-hmm. and use it against all of those who would stand against them in any way.
Right.
And, you know, you have a problem in the movie. You're out someplace and you end up crossing paths with a terrorist, totally unaware, and because they were spying on you and did something they shouldn't do, which was to mine that information with a database, all of a sudden you're kicked off your project, correct?
Right. In the movie, Cynthia goes out to a party with her sister and runs into Mike Wilson in the movie, just by coincidence, total coincidence. But because the government is tracking the whereabouts of suspected terrorists, and also because they're now tracking Cynthia as a civilian employee, as a volunteer, they do what they shouldn't do, and they cross-reference those databases.
Yep.
So they see if any of their volunteers in their civilian database at any point in time ever are in the same place at the same time with anybody on their hot list.
And so they actually end up with that. You get removed from the project, and you confront your boss. One of the things that struck me in the movie was you believed that there needed to be limits because of the great power that your office and the office you worked for had. There needed to be guidelines and rules and limits to what you did, because otherwise you'd simply have all this unregulated power that you were wielding. And I noticed your character struggle with her boss a few times to try to limit. No, we can't do that. We can't just spy on everybody, even if it is just to test our system, mm-hmm. right? So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think Cynthia is you know, basically a good person. And she, because of the events of 9/11, is in a capacity to help create what she believes is a system that will help maintain the security of the United States citizens. So she invents this sort of tracking system and a computer program that data mines that's able to really pinpoint precisely where people are and keep track of them. And she sees this as a good thing because she is concerned. She thinks her country is a good country, and she is concerned about protecting it from terrorism. And I think, you know, how Cynthia, it may be like many people, she doesn't really think through all of the consequences of that kind of thinking when you then put it into projects like monitoring an entire 300 million civilian population. sometimes people just do their jobs and do just follow orders because they think that that's what they need to do for their families. And they don't really look at that higher idea of what are the moral and ethical issues that I'm impacting as well. Many of us, our priorities are about, you know, our much smaller worlds. I'd almost like to make a category of two separate kinds of people. And there are the people like the Cynthia Porters and, you know, government and state workers who are basically good people and think that they're doing the right thing. But and then there are the people, I mean, I hate to name names, but possibly an attorney general here or a secretary of defense there who might actually know what they're doing is wrong and not care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a big distinction between the cog and the people who run the wheel and make the cogs dance. And the people like Cynthia, who are basically good people but don't have the knowledge, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, and the Kool-Aid's coming from the systems of propaganda of the elite. You talked about at the opening of your show, the elite that wants to control the world. They're not misinformed. They're not misled. They know what they're doing. But what they do is create the information and the propaganda that goes out that the good people who take it and they accept it at face value.
Also, the media keeps us distracted. And it's more than just the media that keeps us distracted. Basically, I think, you know, the whole system keeps us distracted. Democrat, Republican, all these guys are, you know, they're on the Council of Foreign Relations or the Trilateralist Commission, and I think it's all part of just a whole big ruse that makes it seem like there really is any thing in the debate between left and right and Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, on this show we call them Republicrats and Demicans, because they're really all saying the same thing.
Exactly. It's a big show, and by watching it we think we're seeing, you know, democracy in action, and
yeah,
we're not at all.
Not at all.
And it's as just as distracting as the media distraction, which keeps us, everybody, just numb from wanting to understand any real political things that are happening to their lives.
That's right.
I think that's one of the great myths of this country, that we still live in a democracy. We don't. We live in an oligarchy. We live in a country that's controlled by, you know, a very small amount of interests.
Very true.
And so that is something,
you know,
that needs to be talked about. When you ask, do we live in a police state? You know, what's our state of freedom? I think it's very important to say, yes, we do, and no, we don't. Because two things are happening at the same time. If you just take the internet and the media, we have 8 multinational corporations that control all of the media. So you have this huge control and this conglomeration of power in hands of very, very few people. But at the same time, you have the internet, and you have people that have access to it, and we can all create our own independent movies, as Tom did, our independent radio shows, as you are. Mm-hmm. And that also is an enormous power.
Absolutely, without question, which is why the internet is such a threat to them.
Yeah.
Which is why electronic media and everyone having it the way we do is such a threat to them.
And what we're doing is a form of democracy, and it's also it's a threat against the conglomeration. So, yes, there's a police state, and no, there's not. And both of those things are true at the same time.
What this movie does, it takes classic situations, like the assassin on the roof, or the guy digging his own grave, or the bureaucrat carrying out work at the office, and every time you think you know what is going to happen and what it's going to be, and it follow, I've seen this before and here's how it goes exactly the opposite.
Yeah, very definitely. It's not what you would expect in the movie, that's for sure. It's really very, very well done. I found myself kind of holding my breath, wondering what was coming next. Very well done.
Well, the circumstances helped. You know, having that circumstance of digging your own grave, it's just a great place to be in. You know, because we go away, we come back to that part of the story, and he's digging his own grave, and it's just a great pun, in a way, to come back to that. And it still locks you right in. It's almost like you rub your hands in anticipation once you see the setup, because you know something's got to give.
Sure.
And even if it is the classic talk him down situation, and he has to talk me out of it, and he does.
Penny, you raise an interesting point earlier when you talked about your character, Cynthia Porter, doing what she thought was right. I think that's really an important thing that the movie brings out, that the people on both sides are people who are sincerely doing what they think is right. And the reality is, and I think your character displays this better than any other character in the movie.
Absolutely. And I think that's really interesting about the arc that both, you know, Glenn has and that I have as characters, they're doing right in the context of their organizations, and yet they have to actually betray their organizations eventually to do what they think is the right thing.
Absolutely amazing. The way this story goes about promoting and displaying what really goes on in people's hearts is just absolutely profound.
If outside our studio we hear the chopper blades, mm-hmm. right, and we know what's coming, and we're armed, and we're ready to resist with our arms, if one of us disagrees about the methodology of resistance, and the others feel free to use those arms on that disagreeer, we've lost. And the state that we set up after we fend off the choppers is as broken as the state that sent them. If we're able to turn the other into an object that we can destroy at will, what's to stop me from looking at you and saying, you're an object that I can destroy at my will?
Can I bring a point here? You're talking about conscience, and before we were talking about, well, how do you affect change if we don't want to go right to bullet? And I think these are two instances when Mike looks through the scope and he sees Cynthia, and it's a moment of nonviolence. He has conscience, he sees the humanity in her, so the moment of nonviolence, he doesn't pull the trigger. The same thing when Tony is playing Sam, and he realizes this is his friend, it's his face, it's a moment of nonviolence. And I think we have two historical instances in the 20th century where those movements were very profound and they had huge effects. So you had Gandhi in India, and here in the United States, you had Dr. Martin Luther King, again, through resistance, you know, to fight the system, but again, to do it nonviolently, also had, it changed the system.
I want to, we're talking about a system and whether or not there is a system or whether it's just people. And I'm going to keep picking on you a little bit, Tom, here. You wrote those words, there is no system, it's just people. Go ahead and I want to hear a little bit more.
Mike Wilson has an insight. He has an epiphany. He's about to kill another human being in the cause of taking down a system. He starts out believing that he will destroy the system by killing the architect of the system, the person who designed it. And when he looks through the scope and sees her face, he realizes that she's another human being. And so for him, it's an insight, and he's stating it as system. I've written the line in this character to describe how he's gone through a change. In today's world, the media and the popular media in the form of movies and programs like yours is probably the best way to get to the people and help wake them up. We're fighting an uphill battle. Me as an independent filmmaker, you as an independent radio program, we are up against the giants who control the media. But fortunately, in today's world, there is a little bit of an opening where an independent can get an audience and can get attention to a different idea, an idea that's not in the mainstream. And so by making this DVD, wrapping it in a story, it's a cautionary tale, but it's an interesting drama. It can draw people in to consider things that they might not otherwise be considering. And that's why I made it.